Welcome, everyone, to a new episode of The Tap. I am your host, author Andrew Hess. Today, I am flying solo for part six of Survivor Series Countdown. Today, we have 2001 and 2002, both very monumental Survivor Series in the history of the WWE. So the first one in 2001, we're going to cover that first. That is actually... this was the Alliance versus WWE, and that whole pay-per-view surrounded around it. So you had the WCW-ECW Alliance, which was the storyline built over. Vince McMahon had legitimately bought out WCW, but they went with the storyline that Shane McMahon had stolen it from Vince before he was able to sign the contract. So Shane McMahon owned WCW. And then you had the storyline where Stephanie McMahon bought ECW. And it was WCW and ECW both combining forces to take on WWE. So it was guys that were already in WWE taking them on. Now, the premise of this whole Survivor Series between the Alliance and WWE was winner takes all. So it was a culmination of all the matches. Whoever won the most between the Alliance and WWE took over everything. It was all theirs. So Shane McMahon and Stephanie McMahon, the Alliance had won the numbers, they would have had complete control over WWE, and anyone not under the WCW-ECW Alliance would have been fired. Same thing with WWE. Had WWE won, everyone that was non-champion, so only the champions had the right to go ahead and stay there no matter what. But anyone else on the losing side got fired, except for a battle royal that they ended up having called an immunity battle royal. We're going to get to that in just a bit. So first up, you actually had Justin Credible, Lance Storm, and Raven getting the win over Albert, Scotty Tuhati, and Spike Dudley. And I liked this match. It was actually on Heat. But I liked this match because it was the one and only time you really, at least to my knowledge, that you got to see the Impact players on WWE as a team. You saw both Justin Credible and Lance Storm each individually. Justin Credible was part of X Factor, and Lance Storm stayed on for the company as part of the Un-Americans. Raven, I like because Raven was just awesome when he was in ECW, and I wish that they would have done more of that kind of style for Raven in WWE, but of course Vince McMahon doesn't like when something is over in another company that he didn't create. Next up, you had Christian successfully defending the European title against Al Snow. So that makes two now for the Alliance. They had a title for title unification match. The United States title and the Intercontinental title were both on the line in this match. Edge versus Test, winner take all. Edge came out the winner, so he was now a unified U.S. and Intercontinental champion. Ironic because these are the two mid-card titles currently in WWE. Next up, you had the Dudley Boys with Stacy Keibler taking on the Hardy Boys. Again, another unification match, this time for the tag team titles. You had the Dudleys walking in as the WCW tag team champions. You had the Hardys walking in as the WWE champions. And this was all contested inside of the cage. It was great. I loved this moment of it. You had Stacy Keibler seducing referee Nick Patrick in order to get the key from him so she can help them get the win. You had Matt Hardy, who escaped the cage, which was you were allowed to win by escape or pinfall or submission. Matt Hardy had escaped the cage, but both members of your team had to do so. That left Jeff Hardy in the match, and Jeff Hardy actually had the Dudleys beat. He climbed to the top of the cage. He had this match won. But because he had to be the daredevil in this, he had to take that risk. He jumped off the top rope, the top of the cage, sorry, and he missed. And the Dudleys capitalized, put the nail in the coffin, walked away as the unified tag team champions. Now we have the immunity battle royal. And this was pretty much everyone who was a non-champion and was not part of any of the other matches, really, took part in this, except for Test. Test had weaseled his way into it. And Test was the one who won. So he was able to keep his job, even though he was part of the alliance. Next up, you had a women's title match. It was both people from both sides, which is weird because all of them really weren't part of WWE. They weren't really alliance. I mean, they were part of the alliance, but I mean, Ivory, Jazz, and Miss Jackie had all paired up with the alliance side, but they were WWE people. Jazz was the only one that was part of ECW or WCW. Actually, I think Jackie was too. She was part of WCW. Lita was actually somebody who was part of ECW, but was still on Team WWE. And Molly Holly, who was part of WCW as Mona, was also in the WWE side. Trish Stratus was the champion, walking in and walked out as champion. Next up and finally, you had The Rock, Chris Jericho, Undertaker, Kane, and Big Show representing Team WWE in the final match, taking on Shane McMahon, Booker T, Rob Van Dam, and the two people you didn't expect to be on the alliance side, Kurt Angle and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Now, Austin was still had walked in as champion, so he was golden. He didn't have to worry about it losing his job either way. But the match itself was great. And then this actually kind of goes back to where we were at SummerSlam, because or a little bit before that, actually in Invasion, Austin had turned on the WWE at Invasion. And this time around, you had Kurt Angle being the one who turned on the alliance and turned on them, made Stone Cold lose the match, and lost it for the alliance. Now, I was for it. I mean, we all knew WWE was going to win this, but and we knew Kurt Angle was going to be the one to turn. But it was just a great match. And they really battled this all the way down to the final men. It was Austin versus Rock. And Kurt Angle caused the whole thing. He caused the loss for his own team, because obviously he wasn't part of the alliance. But I loved it. It was great. This was really monumental, and it really kind of set the stage, because now WWE was complete. Yeah, WCW, ECW, WWE all combined into one, and they started this whole path now where the next night on Raw, Vince McMahon comes out to the ring to celebrate, and you find out that he didn't win. He didn't win like he thought he did. Because Shane McMahon and Stephanie had sold their shares to a consortium, and the consortium was Ric Flair. So this brought into the whole, what was it? This, it was kind of like the Vince and Flair co-ran WWE then for a little while, which then eventually came to the brand split. Vince McMahon controlled SmackDown. Ric Flair controlled Monday Night Raw, and then inevitably the very first official draft. Now let's switch gears and go to 2002. Because this was now the first year after the draft. And we had people from SmackDown, from Raw. We had people that were split up. Like Bubba Ray and D-Von Dudley were on separate brands. Bubba Ray was on Raw. D-Von was on SmackDown, and they continued this now for a while. It wasn't something that was just like, poof, it was, you know, they're back together. They had to like really struggle for a while. And that 2002 era was just kind of, that year was just really rough when it came to wrestling. But there was still some light. You had the return of Shawn Michaels at SummerSlam. You had Brock Lesnar really emerge when it came to the WWE title. Bubba Ray actually had a good run as a singles competitor on Monday Night Raw for a while too. But to top it all off, you had the debut of the Elimination Chamber. And we're going to get to that in just a moment. I'm going to give you the full rundown of the pay-per-view. And obviously, there was definitely some matches in this that were better than others. You had William Regal and Lance Storm getting the win over Goldust and the Hurricane. Great technical match from Lance Storm and Regal. Goldust and Hurricane, both consummate professionals. It was a good match, but it wasn't noteworthy really for me. Next up, you had Bubba Ray, Spike Dudley, and Jeff Hardy, because they split up the Hardys too, taking on 3-minute warning in a tables elimination match, with Bubba, Spike, and Jeff Hardy getting the win, thanks to an assist from Devon Dudley. This match I actually do recommend. I liked it because 3-minute warning, you had Rosie, Jamal, and Rico. There's really no other words to really describe Rico. Rosie was later on had become the superhero in training who paired up with Hurricane Helms, and Jamal had become Umaga. Great match though. Next up, you had the Cruiserweight Championship on the line. Jamie Noble with Nydia being one of the first people to win Tough Enough, defended against Billy Kidman. Billy Kidman walked out as the new Cruiserweight Champion, which was actually a good match. I just wasn't really too into it. Next up, you had Trish Stratus defending the Women's Championship against Victoria. Great match. You gotta watch it. For a women's hardcore match, it was great. And Victoria walks away as the new champion. Then we have Brock Lesnar, who had been a dominating WWE champion up to this point, faces his biggest challenge at that time, The Big Show, and Paul Heyman at ringside for Brock Lesnar. But this didn't end with the typical beast incarnate, as Paul Heyman liked to call him, getting the dominant win. He actually put on a great match against Big Show. This actually really, if you look at their later matches, when Brock Lesnar came back to the WWE, the matches against the Big Show were dominant, but it wasn't anything entertaining. But this match showed both of them in great athletic condition, both an incredible match. And then at the very end, you had Brock Lesnar get the win, but the referee was down. And another referee comes out. Paul Heyman pulls him from the ring, decks the official, and makes it known that he turned his back on Brock Lesnar. Big Show then gets the win and becomes the new WWE champion. Now, we had two more matches. The first up was a triple threat tag team match. Rey Mysterio Jr. and Edge, which was a weird combination for me, had the tag team titles and they were defending it against Los Guerreros, Eddie and Chavo, and against Chris Benoit and Kurt Angle. And Kurt Angle and Chris Benoit actually ended up feuding after this because they could not get on the same page. And this left it as Los Guerreros versus Rey and Edge. And Los Guerreros walked away as the new tag team champions. Another really good match I suggest everyone watch. Finally, we had the debut of the Elimination Chamber. Something that it's still a staple to this day. I mean, we are almost 20 years since its debut, and it's still part of the WWE every year. The very first match inside of the Elimination Chamber was for the World Heavyweight Championship, which we all know as the big gold belt, Triple H walked in as champion, had to defend against five other guys inside this domed metal structure of chains and cages and plexiglass and all this other weird stuff that they built for this thing. You had Triple H defending against Chris Jericho, Kane, Booker T, Rob Van Dam, and Shawn Michaels. Shawn Michaels was the final winner. He was the sole survivor. He was the one who took the title. And mind you, this is the one and only time Shawn Michaels won the World Heavyweight Championship, not the WWE title, the World Heavyweight Championship. And it is the only time he won the main card title, either the WWE or World Heavyweight title, since he returned, and he never won it again afterwards because he did not want the title. This was just an incredible, incredible match. And to watch the initial Elimination Chamber was great. So I recommend going back and watching the 2001 and 2002 Survivor Series because both were historic nights in WWE history. Now, next week, I'm going to be coming back with the 2003 and the 2004 Survivor Series. We'll go over those at that point. Both had some pretty interesting matches on there that we'll get into. But for now, I am author Andrew Hess, and find out next time what's on tap.